Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bishcakes, EB, and JP. If you miss any part of the show, you can always grab the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Just put in Sports Junkies. Of course, we had Coach Dan Quinn on the show at 8 o'clock, so you could play that interview if you missed it. Joining us right now is our pal Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. Hey, Barry.
What's up, guys?
How are you, man?
We've been talking a lot about Mackenzie Gore lately and whether the Nationals would deal him. What is your sense heading into this trade deadline?
So I don't think he will get dealt, but I think they should be listening really hard. It's a different position for Mike DiBartolo because he doesn't have the job permanently. And I think this is such a large decision that it should be probably made by the person who's going to be the architect of the club going forward. That might be DiBartolo in the end, but we don't know that now. And so it really comes down to an ownership decision. But I think there's a really good case that if they could get kind of a franchise changing package in return, that the counterintuitive thing is to trade him. And I think you have to be realizing where they are and where they're likely to be in the next couple of years. Gore is a free agent after the 2027 season. He's a Scott Boras client. Really highly unlikely that he's going to be signing an extension here, not only because he's a Boras client and they don't tend to do that other than Strasburg, but because it's not a particularly appealing place to sign a long-term deal right now. So you're wondering, are you going to be – they're on pace to lose 90-something games for the fifth straight season. Getting into contention – from there represents a 20-win improvement at some point over the next 2 years. Maybe you could do that by 2027 when Gore would be in his walk year and he'd be wondering, okay, wait, are we going to deal him as a rental player now? He's never going to be more valuable than he is over the next 2 days before this trade deadline because he'd be available to a buying team for three postseasons. But it just feels too big of a job for an interim guy to go to ownership and say, look, this is what I can get in return, and this is what how I think this will impact the franchise in the long term going forward, whether I'm running the show or not.
Do you think
what if it's just a situation where I heard some rumors that the Nats may hire a president of baseball ops, so maybe DiBartolo could still keep his GM title, but someone would be above him. And if he makes kind of a big splashy move like this, where you get four or five players for Gore. If Gore went to the Yankees or the Dodgers, teams that are going to the playoffs that could use another arm, I would think that they would give up a nice little haul for Gore. And you're right. If you're going to trade him, you got to do it this year. Next year, that makes sense.
I think you hit on a lot of good points, Jason. Like if Mike DiBartolo wants to put his stamp on, look, this is how I would do the job, he can go to ownership and say, I'm telling you, whether you're going to hire me or not, this is a good deal for your franchise, regardless of who's running it. And you've got to remember, Mike Rizzo pulled the trigger on the Juan Soto trade, but Mike DiBartolo was very, very involved in identifying the prospects and pushing for more. Riz pushed for more too from AJ Preller. They had the right guy on the end of on the other end of the line with San Diego. But we've seen this movie. It's very, very difficult. And Soto was a homegrown star that had a lot, won a World Series here and had a lot more attachment to the fan base. But the blueprint is there. He was at his 4-plus year of service time, available for three postseasons to the buying team. It's the exact same trajectory. Does Mackenzie Gore command as much in return? as Juan Soto? Probably not. But if you get two really, really, you know, they got three all-stars in that trade. I mean, that's it's hard to argue that they didn't do great in that trade, and they probably can't. They're not going to get three future all-stars in return for Mackenzie Gore. But this is the guy that if he were dealt would totally blow up the trade deadline, because if it's the Cubs or the Yankees or the Dodgers, whoever got him, not only would be like, okay, we're boosted over the final 2 months of this season and into the postseason, but we've got a potential number one or two starter for the next two seasons. It really would rock the league.
So do you think it's going to happen?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I think it's, I'll go back to what I said originally, like, I think it's too big for an interim guy and for ownership to say to the interim guy, because I still feel like ownership is detached, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe they're committed to winning and all that kind of stuff. But it really would be Mike DiBartolo going to the Lerner family and saying, here's my recommendation. Here's what I have. Mm-hmm. And they would be had to confer, you know, in the next 48 hours and get their, you know, everything aligned there. That's very, very difficult for them to do. And Jason, while you're right that they, you know, trading him now is he's at the highest value he'll ever have. That's correct. A new GM, a permanent president of baseball operations, whether Mike DiBartolo was there or not, could still consider trading him in this off season when his value would be not as high as today, but would still be pretty high because you get two full seasons out of him. Plus, you know, if you're a contending team, and that's who would be trading for him, hopefully two postseasons.
True.
There'd still be real value there.
True, yeah.
Barry, are we to assume that the Lerners, like this team is truly off the market, or is that just kind of a face-saving thing, and they secretly can't wait to get rid of this thing?
So, Eric, I think it's like there's a lot of tension there within the group. So, you know, some people who see it as, like Mark Lerner, I believe really loves owning the team. He's such a fan. He's really mm-hmm. invested emotionally. But I think there are other, you know, characters in the family who, you know, maybe see it just as an asset. Like that is something that we own, and eventually we'll sell it for more than we paid, and it will have been a good investment. And I think there are people who consider it something of a burden that it's not making money at the rate that they are accustomed to. Their investments making money. And, you know, so I think that's part of the problem, is it's very difficult to get this group to agree and get them all on the same page. And as I've said all along, they lost their North Star, their guiding light, when Ted Lerner passed away. Obviously that was inevitable. I think he was 97 when he died, but that is, it's almost impossible to overstate how that changed the dynamics of the ownership group. And I will always say, Eric, too, that, well, they can say that they're off the market. I think what's important is that I don't know what their number is that they would sell at, but mm-hmm. if someone walked up to them today and said, here's the number, I think they would come to very quick agreement. Like, we got our number. My understanding is that number is way more than what we would think is reasonable, given that the Mets sold for $2.35 billion.
Right.
But I think they'd do the deal in a second if they got whatever that number is.
Yeah.
Barry, who are the locks to get dealt before the trade deadline tomorrow?
I mean,
it's Finnegan, right?
Finnegan, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked. And here's the hard thing about Finnegan is like, and this is part of the reason he wasn't dealt at the deadline last year, is like, all of his underlying numbers are not good. He's a lot of fly balls, not enough strikeouts. You know, his saves are there, but any smart front office is not being like, oh, this guy like has whatever it is, 20 saves and 26 chances. Or I don't even know if that's accurate, but they're not looking at that. I think that it could be difficult to come to an agreement on his value because he's closing for this bad team. Mm-hmm. And I think any real contending team is probably looking to acquire him as a seventh or eighth inning guy. But I also think that DiBartolo is going to be aggressive with the very few assets that he has. And he there's nothing to keep, no one you should keep for the final 2 months of this season if you can get an interesting piece in return. And, you know, Rizzo had a history of doing that. Like, Lane Thomas was a pretty good outfielder here. He got him for an about to retire John Lester. Like, right. You're not going to get James Wood today. You're not going to get Mackenzie Gore today for a half a season to Kyle Finnegan, but you might get an Alex Clemmy, a pitcher in their minor league system who they got in the Lane Thomas deal to Cleveland, who's one of their better prospects now. So that's what you're looking for. I think that, you know, if you could get a bag of baseballs for Josh Bell, you could take a bag of baseballs for Josh Bell. Anybody who's on an expiring contract right. is really highly likely to be dealt in the next couple of days.
Talking to Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. So a week ago, you wrote a column about Terry McLaurin's holdout, and you said, it's a concern, but not a crisis. When does it become a crisis for the Washington Commanders?
I think every day it gets closer to that, and I'm not there yet because the long view is, you know, we're 6 weeks from opening day, and I don't think it's a crisis, a real crisis, until you get to maybe coming out of that last preseason game. Here's the thing, you know, in all the discussions about whether it's a crisis or how concerning it is, like, the person we're talking about matters, I think, and talking about, you know, this isn't a malcontent. This isn't a guy who's looking to make waves for the sake of making waves. This is a stand-up model citizen who is outlining that he has a clear idea of what he thinks his value is. Mm-hmm. Part of it not being a crisis is because I am pretty certain that Terry McLaurin is taking care of his body and putting in the work. And actually, now, you know, we know now he's in team meetings and position meetings, so he's not missing stuff like that. I think we're a good 3-4 weeks from it being a real crisis. But I'll add this too, and I think we've all kind of talked about this over the course of the offseason as Terry didn't have a new deal. It's pretty apparent that DK Metcalf contract is a problem because Terry can say, this is what that guy signed for, AAV of $33 million, guarantee of 60, 4 years, 120 something, mm-hmm. and put his numbers up and say, not only do I have better numbers, but I'm more available. I haven't missed a game since 2020. You know, I mean, more to your franchise than a new guy, DK Metcalf coming from Seattle, means to the Steelers. And I think the Commanders can say, they signed a bad contract. We don't have to sign a bad contract. So we're not, Terry, we love you, but just because they did bad business doesn't mean we're going to. I think there's some real pushes and pulls because of that one deal in Pittsburgh.
But can't we, I kind of feel like, I don't think the team's going to budge much, by the way. I've just kind of learned. I mean, we even see Trey Hendrickson, who seemed the most resolute. He bailed, right? He's like, hey, I'm coming back. I'm, you know, no more of these fines. You know, I'll take the money and we'll pray something happens. But don't we just assume, like, I don't think it's going to reach a crisis, Barry, because we all know Terry's not stupid. He's not going to pass up $16 million or $18 million, whatever the hell they're supposed to pay him this year. He's going to play.
I think he's going to play on a new deal. Like, I don't think he's going to play on the existing deal. I think at some point, Eric, he's going to realize, like, how do these guys have to look at those contracts? Don't look at the 120 something total. Look at what's guaranteed. And if the guarantee is, you know, the next 2 years at 33 per or 32 per, 31
per. Oh, that would get
it
done. That would get it done.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, that's where we're going to land, is some sort of guarantee that is more than Metcalf, but maybe not a 4-year AAV. Because I do think, like, because Terry is who he is and because he takes care of himself so well and he's so available, that I think he's going to have value. I know he's going to be 30 this year, but I think he'll have value at 33.
I agree.
He's never been, like, burst and speed and getting downfield. While he can do it, that's not the, like, defining aspect of his game, the thing that's likely to go away. He makes tough catches over the middle, in traffic, all that kind
right.
of stuff. So I think he's going to have value 3 years from now. I just feel like they're going to get to a number where Terry says, oh my gosh, you know, what am I doing? I will have, you know, this X million dollars guaranteed
right.
me over the next 2 or 3 years, and that's life changing. That's defining. That'll be my final big deal. I've got to take.
But they're
that.
Way yeah. away from that. It looks like the Sutton deal, like the guaranteed money was like $40 million.
Yeah, 41.
Like it's nowhere near what Terry's looking for. Nowhere near.
No, but I also think Terry could be like Sutton. Like, why is he in the conversation? Same conversation as me. He's had 1,000-yard season before last year. Like the numbers from last year look very, very similar. Terry had 13 touchdowns. Sutton had 8, so he beat him there. But they're almost identical other than that. But Terry's body of work is way more consistent than
I Sutton's agree. Is. But they're the same age, and it's just I just felt like that deal hurt Terry's position.
It could have, sure, but I also think, like, maybe the discussion becomes, okay, look, Sutton is bringing your deal down. Metcalf, you want to bring your deal up. What we're going to talk about is right in the middle there, guys. Like, that's, like, if those are the data points, then I think they can, it actually maybe helps them come to a deal because you're saying, okay, this is a bad deal for the player and this is a bad deal for the team. Let's make a good deal for both sides and everybody will be happy.
You would think $30 million. $30 million a year.
But, for sure.
I don't think the Commanders are there.
All right, Barry, we got to run. Good there. Stuff.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks,
thank
Barry.
You, buddy.
It's Barry Zwilliger from the Washington Post. Doesn't believe that the Nationals will trade Mackenzie Gore. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, if you're not going to trade him this year and you're going to trade him next year, like, I mean, unless Barry's right and they trade him in the offseason, you get a pretty
they
good
haul. They need to unload
but him. Next year, you're not going to get anything.
All right, we'll come back with more here on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere. Put up our Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. They're the perfect addition to any gathering. You have a party filled up with Surfsides. They're only 100 calories. Zero carbonation means easy sipping. You can find Surfsides at local bars. Any convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. The poll of the day, which you can vote at Junks Radio, is which Commander's rookie prospect are you most excited to see this upcoming season? 4 choices. You got Josh Connerly. You've got Trey Amos. Jalen Lane. And Bill. Ja'Cory Cross-McMerritt.
I don't think anybody's going to say
Connerly.
Yeah, he's only getting 8% of the vote right now.
Who cares about a tackle?
Right.
I mean, I just feel like Cross-McMerritt fell through the cracks draft-wise because he only played one game at Arizona after he transferred there from New Mexico?
But he played a bunch of years.
He was the MVP of the Shrine game. Like, he's a talented player fell to the 7th round.
But he played a lot of college football.
I know.
He played at Alabama State for 4 years.
He had a lot of stops.
Yeah, he did.
In his college football odyssey.
He's got a lot of carries.
Yeah.
Is favoring Trey Amos.
Mm. I mean, if he can solidify the secondary and can start opposite Lattimore, that's a home run with pick number 66, I believe he was. That's a smash.
Mm-hmm.
You get a starting cornerback in the late 2nd round as a rookie. That's huge.
Our training camp coverage is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
You know, my daughter's in town, right, until October, even though I'm paying rent in New York City, as you know, right?
Have you disclosed how much that rent is? It can't be cheap. I mean, it's got to be.
I mean,
Is she sharing a place with somebody?
She's sharing a place, but it's in Gramercy, so they're spending a lot. So her share is $2,000 a month.
Ooh. Okay.
So I'm paying $2,000 a month for her to not live there.
Yeah.
And
probably don't think about it.
And how long have you been doing that? How long?
Well, I just started.
That was just in July.
I had to pay like a down payment.
Yeah.
It was like $8,000 before we even paid the $2,000 for the first month.
But like
month,
once
you know
she
mean?
Starts making money, she's gonna.
Oh, in October, she's dead to me.
She's
off scholarship.
In October, she's literally a dead person.
Yeah.
So, but you know, until then, and I've actually. All kidding aside, loved having her around.
Oh, and because of course. It's the greatest.
She's actually, you know, she's looking for things to do. Her volleyball career is over. Mm-hmm. And so she's picked up golf, as you know. And so she's been coming to the range with me and then even playing 5 or 6 holes before. She is babysitting to make some side money right now until, you know, she goes off and does her big girl job. But I caught myself yesterday. If any of you have ever played golf with me, you know that it is a constant war. Everyone says that I'm a head case, right? Like literally everyone says that I'm a head case, and I don't take pride in that at all. But that it's a torturous game for me mentally. So I curse like the worst Kurt, like whoever you can think of, times a billion. I missed a putt yesterday on three. And I said, suck my blank and blank and blank. I just screamed it out loud.
With your daughter there?
And she looked at me. She said, Dad! Yeah. And I said, Meg, I'm sorry. I mean, she didn't believe me. She's heard me curse.
Yeah.
But that was...
Look at you.
She started laughing. But I mean, I got to get it under control, Cakes.
Got to control yourself.
I got to control myself.
You have a little bit of decorum on the course.
I have no decorum. Like, I played with a doctor last week. He was mediocre. But I, nice guy.
Hopefully he's a better doctor than golfer, is what you're saying.
But I said to him, like, we were starting to get to know him. I finally said to him, like, on the second hole, I said, listen, I can't keep it in my pants anymore. I'm a terrible cursor on the golf course.
Well, did you just get paired up with this guy randomly?
No, it was just through a friend of a friend of a friend.
Okay, because that doesn't sound like you.
No, I'm not a I'm not a paired up with anybody randomly. I don't do that. So I finally just had to say to him, listen, I'm going to apologize in advance. I have a horrific cursing problem when I play golf.
Yeah.
This game annoys me to no end. It gives me great joy about two times out of, you know, 100 shots. Most of the time, it's a miserable thing.
But is he okay with that?
He was fine with it.
Yeah, he was fine.
He was fine with it. But, it. I mean, I don't think you're a guy
if you can't cuss on the golf course.
Do you think that's true? I feel like if I had to play with like a dignitary or something, I don't think I could do it. Like if we, like, I don't know, who'd be, like if the mayor, Mayor Bowser wanted to play with me, I don't think I could do it.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think might I not could go over do
she,
it.
Yeah, but she might think you're funny because you're dropping all the F-bombs.
Oh, I don't know.
And maybe she curses on the course, too.
Maybe she would, too.
Right? I think she'd call the cops and put me in prison. That's how bad it is.
You don't think she calls these D.C. council members MFing, you know?
By the way, did you ask the doctor for his bona fides like I would have?
No.
You're out of the course with him?
No. But, I don't know. It's just something that... This will only be relevant to one person in this room right here, in these two rooms. Grant Horvat, okay? He's a YouTube golfer. Okay, he's the most popular. You can make the argument. He's arguably the most popular golfer in the country. You can almost make that argument because YouTube golf is almost bigger than the tour.
He's got the opposite teeth of EB.
Well, he's got big teeth, but he's got big pearly white.
Yeah, sure. Big pearly white.
No, but his thing is, he's this YouTube golfer that, you know, people that are into that, they know. He's like, oh golly gee, I miss
Oh, he
that.
Doesn't curse. So,
yeah, he's not a cursor.
He works blue. He doesn't work blue.
Oh no, right? He's a super religious guy, and he, you know, oh dang,
gee willikers, I miss that
no
putt.
Cursing. So I always say, not always, but every once in a while, I go, today I'm going to be in my Grant Horvat mode. Today I'm going to be, oh golly gee.
Doesn't stick, does it?
It lasts about a half a hole.
Irony is your mom. Never uttered curse words.
Where did it come from?
Your mom used to say crumb. I remember
friends,
that was her go-to.
Your
my
friends?
Peers.
Because your dad wasn't a cusser.
My dad.
It didn't seem like he was.
My dad could curse. What,
I would.
When he was pissed.
What doesn't help is I think Eric doesn't let shots go either. So it builds up, crescendos.
Right.
Of course.
Into a bigger long
volcano.
It's highlighted on the golf course, but of all my friends, I mean, I remember, you know, when you were just first discovering curse words. You took a liking to them in particular in elementary school.
My mother washed my mouth out with soap when I was in elementary school.
Yeah, you loved.
Because I said the F word and not the one about sex. Because I read it. It was
like vandalized. Bathroom stall.
It was like a vandalized vandalism thing. And somebody wrote like a slur with the F. Yeah. And I said that at my house.
Oh, yeah. Boom,
right on the floor, soap in the mouth.
Yeah. He's been a prolific cursor since we were 10 years
he
old.
He embraces the medium. He is his thing.
Well, you know, like my daughter says, you are sort of who your five closest friends are. So I'd put you guys kind of in the same camp.
Hey, let me ask this. If the marshal had been driving by when you said what you said in front of your daughter, do you think he would have said anything to you?
And I'm not kidding. I think if some of the things I've said would be grounds to kick me out of the club.
at least like probation. Put you on probation for your potty
suspension
mouth.
Suspension at a minimum.
But at least you're aware enough to tell your partner who doesn't know you.
I had to tell him in advance because it was killing me.
I noticed I was talking to somebody that's on the Commanders. And he dropped the holy smokes. And I was just being conversational just for a couple minutes. And I know I was cursing. I
Did
just
he
know
actually
I was
say
cursing.
The holy, the S word? Or
no,
said smoke?
He was. He said he was like a Christian. And I was like, whoa, I better, right. I gotta dial it back.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I don't want to offend anyone. It's just my own frustration with my own self.
You just can't help yourself.
It's my own anger and sadness.
I think I'm just too apathetic about my golf results to care that much. I used to be like that.
No. I put in too much work to suck this
man. I like playing with guys like that.
That what? The curse?
That are just ultra competitive, that will, you know, miss a 4-foot putt.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I don't know
you
if
like
I like
fire?
It.
Yeah, I do.
Now, here's what I will do. I take pride in this. I don't throw my clubs. I put it in there softly, but inside, steam.
But you used to throw your clubs.
Oh, it's 20 years. I told you, I had the ultimate wrench. I threw my wedge, it hit a tree, bounced back, and it impaled me in my arm. I have a scar in my arm. Hey. And I had half a wedge sticking out of my forearm.
The golf gods got their revenge on
me. That happened at like a really nice club. Jason, we used to play every once in a blue moon. Used to play it a lot. River Bend, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
One of those.
River Bend's great.
Oh, yeah. River Bend. The Revenge of the River Bend Tree.
Oh, man, Andrew Bond over there.
You threw a club at River Bend?
Oh, yeah.
Wedge. This was 20 years ago. I mean, it was a Strasburg-like fastball.
When you used to play with Mike O'Mara, what did he say about you? Or maybe you said it about him.
Oh, he was a nightmare.
Oh, he was crazy.
He was crazy too because he was always he was always speed golfing.
Because he had to get back to the show.
Because he had to work, right? So he had to do a 3 p.m. show, and he would say, "Hurry up, bro!"
Because Don would yell at him.
3 hour round it,
huh?
He wanted to get 3 hour round it.
Yeah, it was like he was the president or something. Miserable. I mean, it was really nice. He would take us out to RTJ and really nice places. Yeah. But then he would get volcanic. Volcanic. But anyway, I thought you might enjoy that. But it's, you know what? It's going to be a resolution of mine. That's a mid-summer resolution. Try to work on my language.
Nah, I think maybe you are who you are. I don't think that's going to
The phrase which starts with S followed by my, I would stay away from that when I'm around my daughter.
Yeah, that was particularly like sexual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I
never said that.
We know what you said.
Yeah. I would stay away from that.
I totally forgot
in front of your daughters.
I totally forgot that she was with us. Then I felt a little bad. I mean, she's heard me curse like the worst of all, but I don't really
curse in front of my kids.
We curse, except for my wife.
But maybe a little bit with Dylan, but not really.
I'm just waiting for my youngest doesn't yet, but. You know, she'll be playing, you know, and you know, it's unavoidable.
And she's exposed to it home.
Well, like once you get into college and, you know, your college friends.
I don't feel like Dina curses, though, probably.
That's what I said. No, Dina doesn't.
Yeah, Dina doesn't curse. You're picking up the slack. Yeah.
Has she ever? What would be a
way? Yeah. I'm sure yelling at me or something. Oh. I'm sure. But no, she on the whole, no, she's
There's
not.
There's no way she said she's ever uttered the phrase that he uttered on the golf course.
No way.
No, I mean, it was a vicious, right. It was vicious with a lot of anger.
And was it, again, it was a missed putt or missed a missed chip?
Missed the putt.
Missed the putt.
Yep. Missed the putt. And I told it to suck my, you know, really loud.
Been there.
Really loud.
It's like Terrell Hatton. Terrell Hatton says that too.
All right, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
You should always listen to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan, but if you can't, you can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. You can catch our interview with Dan Quinn. Maybe you've heard of him. He's the head coach of the Commanders.
You know,
did that earlier.
I'm begging Cakes to leave right after the show with me because I'm going to the club. When I go to the club, I go literally drive right by Cakes' house.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, I've been going there straight, no stops. And I know I'm leaving before Cakes, and I'm driving by, and I see his little red car.
My Hot Wheels car.
His little Hot Wheels car in the driveway ahead of me. I'm like, how is this guy beating me? What the F is going? I don't even understand it.
I have a life hack. I have a way that I'm not sitting in traffic that you are currently sitting
JP,
in on the way
home.
JP is
avoiding.
JP, I said during the break, I said, why don't you guys carpool a couple of times a week and just save gas?
That would never happen.
And they just laughed
yeah,
at me.
I mean, just scoffed at it.
They laughed at carpooled me. During the early days of the show.
Yeah, but
even Jason and I
it's
did
fine.
A little bit.
It's fine. It just got old
If you lived
carpooling
a block away from me,
yeah.
Would you even carpool?
A block away?
Yeah, I mean,
I might consider it, but I don't know that I would.
I would just so I could sleep like every other day. Like if you drove in the morning one day and I drove in the morning the next day, 100%.
I wouldn't be able to sleep with one of you clowns driving me to
work. Well, plus in the morning, you don't like to talk to people. I don't like to talk to people ever, really.
Oh, JP would
talk to you. In the morning?
No, I would go to sleep.
From 5 to 6?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
I'm with you.
Talk either.
We'd be a perfect tandem then, because I literally, on days that you would drive, I'd put my head on the window and I would sleep.
Yeah, but on days that you drove, I wouldn't be able to sleep because I can't sleep in cars, and you would just talk.
Talk and look at you while
he's
talking.
That would be a Miz trip.
Yeah.
No, but Cakes, so I leave here, basically, I go straight down like New Jersey Avenue or whatever the heck this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I get on, I think it's 695, and then I wait to get on BW Parkway.
See, I'm not doing the waiting, because I go down M Street, and then you're taking a right.
I'm telling you, I'm going left, but I'm going off New Jersey.
Okay.
And I'm taking a left to get right on 695, but the 695, then I have to wait.
You're sitting in a backup that I'm avoiding.
I'm sitting on a backup to get on BW Parkway
that
you're avoiding.
Because I have a silly end around. And I'm
don't
show
don't you head like you're
minutes.
Going towards? Do you just head like you're going towards?
I don't go that way.
National Park.
I don't go that way.
National Harbor.
When I'm going to the club, I go this way. Oh, I take
maybe
BW
you need
Parkway.
To switch it up.
No, look. He's missing. You understand? He's skipping the build up to BW Parkway.
I am going to show you the path to enlightenment today in about 9 minutes.
Yeah, drive that. I would guess that driving like towards Bethesda Bagels and going down that way and then getting on the parkway that way is the faster way.
That's the way we're going to go.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's mocked me. That's Cakes
know.
As well.
I don't know Bethesda Bagels. I don't know from it. I don't know.
Well, like towards the stadium, you take a left turn at the stadium.
All you got to do is follow this guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, just follow
I'm
me.
Sitting for
I'm
10 minutes.
You pass by Navy Yard, like where Pacers is.
Yeah. We're going to pass
I never
all
go
those
that
places.
Way.
Yeah. That's
never,
what
it,
well, that's
ever,
the shorter
ever,
way.
Ever,
today,
ever.
You're going to go that way.
All right. We're going to leave together right after the show.
You seem very panicked by it. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's bothering
I need
him.
To learn this way because I'm literally driving by and I'm like, I can't believe that tiny car beat me home. I can't believe it.
By the way, this morning I had to make a decision. We have a new guy.
Chris.
Chris. Met him yesterday.
Who was a new guy?
He's a new valet.
A new valet.
Oh, okay.
He's actually kind of getting hooked.
Nice
so the
kid.
Way that Jason gives these guys, you know, $2 or $3 tips, depending on how he feels or what's in his wallet, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I pay monthly. So it's the end of the month. I'm paying for July.
Right.
And I decided that I'm just going to do two envelopes,
uh-huh.
one for the morning guys and then one for the later morning guys. Yeah. I'm going to call them afternoon, whatever. So I had my envelope prepared, $50. It's in there for the morning guys. And
it was him.
Chris wasn't there for like 3 or 4 minutes. I saw him take off with, I think, Drab's car. And I waited and I waited and I waited. And I was like, I'm just going to leave the envelope and my key right there on the little table that he has set up.
Yeah.
And will Chris share that? Because...
No.
Chris just got a $50 tip.
Here's what I find fascinating.
Chance.
That Jason has two or three singles on him every single day.
Or like, he breaks money.
That hustle is unmatched. How do you always have singles in your wallet every single day?
Well,
I don't understand how you do it.
I make a point of it because that's what I tip with.
I know, but like that means you're making cash transactions all the time.
It's part of his daily life.
Dude, I do that.
That
I don't use
so annoying to
you
me.
Don't even have a debit card. I mean, I use cash and a debit card.
I don't think I have $1 in my wallet. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm a cash guy.
I've got a bank statement. I have a dime. Won't cost you a dime. I got a few car wash sillies right here. I got no cash. Those guys would be
the only
the
reason
I've
got my girl Lourdes coming to the house today.
Yeah.
You pay her cash?
I pay her cash.
Now, the only reason I have cash is I go.
So I need to get cash today.
I go to get my hair cut yesterday, and it's an Asian barbershop, and they don't take credit card. Cash only business.
cash, straight cash.
And they have an ATM right there. So I got $200. I was like, oh, I can pay the parking tomorrow.
Mm.
And so $50. You believe Chris took $50 is not sharing it.
Well, it's an envelope with $50.
I can't believe he did that.
Well, what else would he do? What is? I mean, he sees a $50.
I mean, you got to wait to give it to the manager or someone you know. You just gave $50. You're going to stiff everyone else who's been moving your car for the last month.
I gave it in the envelope. I just write morning, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure the guy who grabs it and stuffs it in his pocket cares.
Well, Badar is going to get that.
See you tomorrow is in Sudan or wherever he's from. He's in for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, he told me.
Or a month.
I don't think it's Sudan, but now I forgot. You mucked it up.
No, it's not Sudan.
It's a different African country.
What's the country that starts with an E in Africa?
Ethiopia.
That's where he is.
Yeah, I think if you
he's Ethiopia.
You don't go to Ethiopia for just like 5 days.
No, he's been there for a month or 6 weeks.
You're going there for like a month.
I can't believe he would just leave $50 out like that.
No, it was in an envelope, and it says parking. You know, I labeled
I know.
It said for the morning guys.
Did it say parking tip? Name,
something like that.
I wouldn't leave that out with no one around.
Well, he probably would have been back in the next minute.
That doesn't.
He
make
probably
me
went to park my car
to leave $50 out.
I wouldn't have done that,
especially
either.
When people can walk in and out of there.
But
all
JP,
the time.
I'm gone for the next 10 days, or I'm not going to be back for like 2 weeks. Well, I wanted to pay him for July.
The afternoon guys share. They know to share.
I don't know.
Or you could give it to the front desk guy and say, "Hey, this is for the valet. Can you help?"
All right,
them?
Next time.
The guy.
Well, usually,
the guy,
I would have no problem. Is it Badar? Usually, I would just give it to Badar.
Badar, yeah.
And he could take all 50 if he wants. He's the one who usually hooks.
He's a money hockey player for the
Blackhawks.
He's money.
He's got like he's got amazing hearing. Like he always comes out of that door right when I'm walking in.
Because he smells the money.
Don't have to knock on the door. Him. Some people you got to knock on the door. They're sleeping on the wheelchair.
I used to do that bit. Those guys would be chilling in the back office.
Right.
Sleeping for hours till we show up.
Bickle's going to go play golf in 119 degrees. And
Sounds like fun.
And he's going to discover a crazy new way to get to the B-Dot Parkway.
If it saves me 10 minutes, if it saves me from
10
sitting
minutes, probably
in traffic,
stretch, but
it's going to save you at least 5 to 7 minutes every day.
You never hit that traffic leading up to BW Parkway.
I mean, sometimes there's a backup, like around RFK. Hmm. I mean, but
I'm so sized.
I avoid what you're going to avoid today for the first time.
I'm so sized.
All right, we got to get out of here.
JP's
for Bish
on the flight soon.
Cakes,
yep, have a good trip.
EBM JP, B. Mitch and Finley coming up next, right here on The Fan.